Gulf Coast Maker and Comic-Con 2018 coverage is proudly powered by Amazon Prime. Find out all of the included benefits and get a 30-day free trial by going to plughitslive.com/prime and by audiobooks.com. Get a 30-day trial and a free audiobook to keep by going to audiobooks.com and using promo code TRY70.
All right. Well, we've got our next guest here. Hello.
Hello. How are you guys?
Fantastic. How are you?
Fantabulous. It's always good when you have to make up a word.
Absolutely. Go ahead and introduce yourself for us.
Hi, I'm Mark Muncy, the author of Eerie Florida, Spooky Tales from the Sunshine State, and the dark history behind them. I ran a haunted house here in St. Petersburg for 20 years called Hellview Cemetery, which we interviewed about.
Yes, we talked about that 2 years ago.
Many moons ago. It was so infamous that it was shut down by the city. For the last couple years.
Which is pretty impressive.
It's pretty crazy when your haunted house gets that big. So, especially when it's just in your backyard.
Just in time for me to not be able to go, too.
I'm so sorry.
It wasn't your fault.
That was actually the reason we shut down. We were like,
so I couldn't go.
Cut the production. Everyone go home.
We've done the interview. He seems too interested.
Yeah, this is scary, like, stalker-level stuff. We spent the last, we based it all on local legends and lore for 20-plus years. So we had all this great stuff, stocked up. So that's when we had originally published a thing called 31 Tales of Hellview Cemetery, which was stories from our website, the tales from the crypt, creepypasta versions of the stories, if you will.
Sure.
And so then we decided, well, we've got to do something else with that. And so people were like, well, this is based on this legend and this is based on that legend. What's the real legend? And that's where this came from. 3,000 miles, drove around, never left the state.
Okay.
That's a lot of driving.
Yeah, it is.
And we went everywhere from Gulf Breeze in the Panhandle with the UFOs down to Robert the Haunted Doll down in Key West and everything in between.
So you did your research on each topic.
Oh, yeah. We went everywhere. We hit every historical archive, every library, and, of course, the places and people themselves. We did a lot of interviews. We were traveling roads well-traveled by other paranormal hunters and cryptid hunters and UFO enthusiasts. But then we also found a few that they didn't know. And,
oh, wow.
A lot of, seminal legends were reintroduced. And we found a couple folklorists who were like, wow, I didn't even know that one. So,
wow.
So we're pretty happy with that. It's done very well for us. History Press is very happy, very successful for them. And so we're doing a follow-up already called Freaky Florida, which we are going to be bringing out this fall. It's a little less of the monsters and a little more of just some oddball places you may not know about and stuff.
And
like
which
that.
One? When did this come out?
This came out last September.
Okay.
And normally they wait 3 years before having an author do a follow-up, but because this one was
so
huge,
yeah,
they're like, yeah, go ahead, do another.
Do you have any kind of teaser for someone who doesn't know about this book?
Okay, well, like just some of the monsters.
Some kind
we
of
talk
tid
about.
Tidbit of information that would get someone like super interested.
Oh, I can totally do that. I mean, let's say just look at the table of contents. It goes from north to south. So as we mentioned, the Gulf Breeze UFO flap,
interesting,
which was big in the 1980s, very famous. Ed Walters was this guy who took a lot of famous photos of these UFOs. And if you look up UFO photo in on Google, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be one of his photos. He was famously debunked in around the 90s when he moved out of his house and they found the model kits he had used. So sad, but still there were over 200 UFO sightings just in that area at the same time that he had nothing to do with. So because one guy gets debunked doesn't mean the rest are debunked.
Sure.
So
doesn't mean the concept is.
Exactly. And so one of the wonderful fishermen we got to talk to up there was talking about a new phenomenon. It's actually not a new phenomenon. It's an old one, but called USOs, which are unidentified submerged objects. And they are tend to be grouped with UFOs because one tends to become the other. The ones that are common up there now are the black triangles. And there are these big black shapes. And this guy was, this one fisherman was talking about, he was out in the waters about 400 feet deep. And suddenly his depth finder starts going crazy because he's suddenly in 12 feet of water. He thought he's gone adrift or maybe a whale was coming up. He runs outside and he sees the dark shape.
Well, that would be unfortunate.
He sees the dark shape coming up. He's like, what the heck is going on? And he sees it, and it comes up out of the water and just hovers above him, this big, giant black triangle with lights on the corners, little red lights.
Okay.
And doesn't make a sound, just a little hum. and you know, barely breaks the water. And the guy's telling us this, and his hairs on his arm are standing on end. I mean, it's, you know, obviously he saw something. And we're like, so did you take pictures? He's like, of course I took pictures. But it's a black ship on a black sky. You know, this is the picture. It's just black. You know, and I was like, yeah, try to take a picture of your nightstand at night right by your bed. Your phone's not going to get
it's
that.
It's not going to work.
It's going to be a big black shape.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so I'm like, yeah, understood. But, you know, he's obviously
did you take
he saw something.
Of course I did.
Yeah, of course I did. And I was like, did you have any drinks? Yeah, of course I had a couple drinks. You know, but, you know, so it's one of those, you know, but that's just one of the stories. You know, there's Robert the Doll, probably the most famous resident of Key West. Those that don't know, Robert is the inspiration for Chucky. He's a doll with a life of his own down in Key West, lives in the Fort East Martello Museum. He's very infamous. He's had a lot of, you know, fame on the internet and other things. But what we kind of took off from was his curse. What most people don't know about Robert is you have to be very respectful of Robert the Doll. You have to be very nice to Robert the Doll or bad things happen to you. And there's this wall of letters behind him. It's actually not there anymore because we just found out they had to take the letters down because Hurricane Irma wiped them out.
Oh, no.
But they have them all digitally saved, and he does get new letters every day, but now they just have them flashing up on a screen behind him. But anyway, you can spend a day just reading these letters.
Wow.
Because they're hysterical. Like, my favorite was, Dear Sir Robert. I like that they called him Sir Robert because they were being nice to him. I'm sorry I made fun of your stupid leather face. Leather is actually nice for a face, and I'm sorry I took your photo without permission. Please remove your curse. We get the message.
Oh.
Please fix my eye, my Xbox, and my marriage. And I love that was the order he put them in.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
So, yeah, so be respectful of Robert. We love Robert. Robert's in the book, and we asked his permission to use the picture, and he was very gracious. People were like, well, how do you know he give you permission? It's like, it's kind of, you just know. And a lot of people, you know, their cameras don't work.
I mean, you're not cursed or anything right now.
Not so far. Well, we did have Irma, you know, and, you know, a few other
that
things.
Could have been someone else, though.
That could have been, but who knows what. Yeah.
But it affected him, too. Yep. So it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we've got Tampa Bay legends. We've got Mary Reeser from St. Petersburg. Very famous case in the 50s. She was in her apartment, little old lady. She had dinner with her son. He goes home. Next day, they bring a package for her. They can't get in. They test the door. Fire. It's hot. So they call the police. Police bust down the door. She's gone. There's just a puddle of goo on the ground and a foot. And a very shrunken thing that they think is her head. And she had melted. And she's called the Cinder Lady. And one of the first cases investigated by the FBI of possible spontaneous human combustion.
Oh!
Okay.
They have her file is at the St. Pete History Museum downtown, which signed by J. Edgar Hoover, which was fascinating to see.
Yeah.
And, pictures in the book. So there you go.
Does the book have, I want to know the point of view of the stories.
Every one of them, we try to go from the history behind it. This is for History Press, after all, which they normally do. Like, you'll see a lot of their books are like the history of Gulfport, the history of this battle, the history of, you know, Jacksonville. So we went from that aspect on all the stories. It was not just the, okay, there's this, you know, the skunk apes in Ocala. Well, why is he in Ocala?
Yeah.
Well, you know, why is he suddenly turning up on roads, and, you know, and how long ago were these things? Robert's story, as we go back to the original story of Robert's owner, Robert Eugene, and all that. And so we get to throw in a little Key West history. Pinky the Sea Monster up in St. John's River. He's our Loch Ness Monster, folks who don't know Florida. He has a legends from dating back to the Seminole tribes. And even the earlier paleo Indian tribes and such, of a giant beast that lived in the St. John's River that swam the waters and was of a bright color. And, you know, in the 80s, he was, or late 70s, he was seen and he was noted for his pink skin and it looked like a boiled shrimp. And that's where the name Pinky stuck. So, so that's, you know, that was Nessie mania and all that. So.
Sure.
And do you normally include interviews in the stories?
The ones
that had
you know, living, living witnesses that we could still do interviews. And some, we have one story that was one not many people knew before this came out. It was a story that had been sent to me at the Old Haunted House website. a lady had a story about a strange encounter. She lived in the Shadow of Bock Tower out near Lake Wales, which is a big, beautiful bell tower. And it's the highest point in Florida, a whole whopping 223 feet above sea level. It's called Iron Mountain. You know, out of Florida, that's like, what? That's a
that
speed
facial,
bump.
That yeah. facial expression did it all.
Yeah, exactly.
Sums it up perfect.
Sums it up right there. Yeah. So anyway, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, 223 feet. But anyway, they lived in the, and that whole area is a little weird. There's Spook Hill famous there, a gravity well that, you know, there's a school that where Casper the Friendly Ghost is their mascot because it's so famous. So the whole town embraces this weirdness. But this was a legend there we didn't know. This lady emails me, and she had had this encounter. She lived on her grandparents' farm, an orange grove out okay. there. And when she was a child, they were losing all their fruit, and they couldn't figure out what was going on. There were just massive amounts of fruits. They thought tree rats or something. So they actually thought maybe neighbors were stealing it. So they put out traps. They put out some wires. And what they caught was a little guy, maybe about 6-8 inches tall. She I remember at the time she pointed out it was like the size of a water bottle, and that I had with me, and naked hairy man. So knew it wasn't a baby, naked, full hair. Yeah, great. I love that expression. That was perfect. Thank you. Anyway, so they call the police. Police come out. They don't know what to do. He's speaking in a language they don't understand. They don't know what to do with him. So they're like, just let him go.
Is it a leprechaun?
That's just it. They're like, we don't know what this is. Let it go. It's obviously not stealing all your fruit. It can't be. It's just this one little guy. So, and you know, they were familiar with Ripley's. They were familiar with Ringling. So circus acts are not uncommon in the area,
right.
but not super common. And, so they thought maybe it was just some circus performer. And
out in the wild?
Yeah, something. They were trying to place his language. One of the police thought it might have been Indonesian or something. But anyway, they let him loose. The next day, they're still losing stuff. They're still losing fruit. So a couple weeks pass, they put up more traps. They catch the guy again. This time he's injured. So they put him in an orange crate, and they call the cops again. The cops come out. This time they take him away in the orange crate because they can't put handcuffs on him. He's too small. Now, this lady's telling us this story, and I'm just sitting here going, this is crazy. There is no way.
Crackerjack finger cuffs, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. So but I guess what happened is that you'd think that'd be the end of the story. No. The next night, all hell breaks loose. Rocks are being thrown at their house. Tree branches are – there's an army of them outside their house.
Oh, no.
Swarming their house. And so they call the cops again. And this time the cops come out. They're like, they are done with this guy. They can't figure out what to do. They let him loose again. And they all flee out into the woods. And they go – all right, that's it. That's it. We're done. You know, we don't. You know, you guys have to deal with this. Sorry.
I'd move.
So
I'd move.
They a nearby farmhand says you've offended the red caps, the fairies, the leprechauns, and that's what these are.
I got it.
You're right.
I got it.
So they go to they call a guy in Ireland and have them ship a blessed stone, blessed by a druid and a Catholic bishop, to come to Ireland and put in their orange grove. And they said once that happened, they stopped losing fruit once they got the rock. Now, we're like, so this can't be real. There's no way I can verify this. When we were doing the book, Weekly World News used to always be the, if they had one witness, is real. We can run it. Modern journalism likes 3 or 4 sources.
Uh-huh.
Of course, modern journalism, one source is fine again. But no, we went with two.
Kind
we wanted at least 2 verifications. So I'm like, so when we started this book, I'm like, I really want to research this story to see if there's any way I can use it.
Well, you think that if they took him away, there would be some kind
something.
Of document.
Sadly, she's passed away. So it was like, oh, we're never going to get another verification. I posted on a Facebook group and, you knew if you grew up in Lake Wales, if. And I said, hey, if anybody knows anything about this, please. And sure enough, a guy who worked as a civilian for the police department said, I remember there was a weird thing with a little guy. And so now not only is that, but the city of Lake Wales Police Department is trying to find the paperwork. So, but he remembered it. But it was a 40s file. It's going to be hard to find. And
okay.
But we're hoping. But we ran it.
Okay, so I don't know if you've seen. There's a skeleton.
Oh, yeah, the mummy skeleton.
That's been going around that they thought was really old, and it turns out it's only about 45 years
old, and mutated.
It sounds like the skeleton of what you've just described.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
And it, you know, and if you just watched American Horror Story a couple seasons ago, the circus episode, they have a lady who's the same size, you know, and she's real. I've met her a couple times. She's super nice. And so it's possible. And she is actually from the Philippines, so it's, you know, it's interesting. But anyway, so yeah, the gnome is
likely.
The gnome is illustrated. Let me here's
that's crazy.
Box Hour, and our wonderful illustrator, my fiance Carrie Schultz, made our guy come to life. So I don't know if you can see it, but
yeah,
go to erieflorida.com. You can see pictures. You can see that we actually liked him so much he got on the back cover.
Fantastic.
So, oh wow.
Down on the barcode. So yeah, so. That's Erie, Florida.
That's
How's
awesome.
That for intriguing?
That
you blew my mind. I'm done.
You always bring intriguing, to be fair. That's
what I do.
That was going to be a given. if I wanted to buy one of these.
Yes.
Or anybody else. But
yeah.
If I wanted to buy one of these, how do I do it?
Well, you can find it at all your favorite online retailers, Amazon, all that stuff. We prefer you to buy it from your friendly local bookstore.
Okay.
You can always order from them. We're through every major distribution channel, thanks to History Press. We're in odd places, thanks to History Press. I saw it in a Harbor Freight one day. I saw it in a Cracker Barrel. So, you know, my dad must be very proud of me from beyond going, my son's in a Cracker Barrel.
I guess Cracker Barrel makes a little bit more sense than Harbor Freight.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, History Press, you can get anywhere History Press books are found. You can also go to erieflorida.com.
Okay.
And we have a special local bookstore here in St. Pete that we have a relationship with called Books at Park Place. And we will actually have for a small fee, our talented illustrator will actually illustrate in your copy and send it to you.
That's
so
awesome.
Whoa.
Yeah, so that's, you know, a one of a kind you can get.
That's really cool.
So, but, yeah, it's a lot of fun. So that you can find us anywhere. And keep an eye out. The follow-up book looks like it's going to be called Freaky Florida.
Okay.
It's not going to be as many spooky. It's still got some monsters. It's still got some myths. It's still got some murders. But it's also got some just oddball places you may not know that are right around the corner. Solomon's Castle. If you've never been there, fantastic. Worth a day trip here from St. Pete. That's a giant castle made of aluminum built by an artist like no other and filled with puns. And, you know, so it's definitely worth a trip. And we'll have lots of those. And that'll be coming out this fall as well.
So. I have to respond to something that just happened off camera.
What happened?
What was that look for, Michelle?
She's intrigued.
It's very intriguing. There's a whole lot of creepy going on.
Creepy.
And then you throw punny in there, and what am I going to do?
Yeah, okay. Creepy and
puns. I'm going to look.
He has Solomon's Castle. I'll just tell you one of the best parts about Solomon's Castle is he builds everything out of recycled materials. He just passed away last year. It's a shame. But his family's still running the place.
Okay.
The castle has two suits of armor out front. One's black and one's white. And one is the night and one is day. That's pretty bad. That's how it starts. And then it gets from there. Yes, inside they have a board.
Goodness.
They have a board filled with dinosaurs, and they're like, "We were too poor to build Jurassic Park, so we built Jurassic Plank." And there's a band made out of tuna cans, and he's totally made it out of tuna cans and tuna keys. It's all wired and stuff, and they're playing Flight of the Bumblebee because it's Bumblebee tuna.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, this is a trip that we're gonna make as a group.
You guys,
that's what I'm hearing.
Oh man, totally live stream from there. I mean, they don't have. They don't have cell phone, but they do have Wi-Fi. So, and you can actually stay in the castle. So Ed Solomon made it. It's amazing. It's awesome. It's
awesome.
Three stories. He's like, when we talked to him, it was like, it's all made out of aluminum siding. That was for the aluminum siding is built out of the Tinnotype stuff from the local paper, and they were just throwing it all away. And he wound up buying it. And he's like, you know, sooner or later, you build two or three, you know, stories, and suddenly you got a couple turrets. And next thing you know, you got a castle.
Yeah, that sounds like the way you
end
up with a castle.
That's how I got mine.
There's a pirate ship next to it. There's a pirate ship next to it called the Boat in the Moat, and that's his boat that he built. And he didn't build anything small, so it's a 30-foot Spanish galleon. That's
of course it is. That's a restaurant.
That's a restaurant that you can eat at because there's nothing else to do out there because it's Ona, Florida. It's in the middle of nowhere.
Fair enough.
And it's a blast. It's a great place to visit. Totally worth a day trip.
Very cool. Well, that sounds like something our group's going to have to do.
Yes.
Well, as always, thank you for taking the time to come and talk to us.
Thank you so much, and thank you all for watching. So, and we will see you soon.
Absolutely.
See you on the other side.
Oh, shoot.
I
thank you.
I think he may have just cursed you. That's what I heard.
Chucky?
Either that or threatened you.
Chucky?
It's one or the other. Oh, I love that everything went wrong for their group, and they lost their haunted house due to
unfortunate
circumstances. And yet, he managed to turn that and keep going with the weird things that he's already passionate about to turn it into a book. And, all right, so I can't have my haunted house in my backyard anymore. Fine. How about I write a book about all the things the haunted house was based on?
And this is the kind of book that you're going to read in front of a campfire. You're just going to sit there, you're going to tell your friends all these stories, and you're just going to go at it, you know? Like, you're just going to be freaked out for the rest of the night.
A great way to screw up a camping night.
You in the best way.
Yeah. Like, I've got an idea. How about we go camping and not sleep because we're all afraid of the
leprechauns.
Yeah, the 8-inch tall swarm. Oh, my goodness.